Trading in Danger by Elizabeth Moon. Narrated by Cynthia Holloway. Copyright 2003 by Elizabeth Moon. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with Elizabeth Moon, care of Jabberwocky Literary Agency, and was produced in the year 2008 by Tantor Media Incorporated, which holds the copyright thereto. Chapter 1. Kalara Bada came to the attention in front of the Commandant's desk. One sheet of flat copy lay in front of him, the print too small for her to read upside down. She had a bad feeling about this. On previous trips to the Commandant's office, she had been summoned by an icon popping up on her desk comp. Those had all been benign visits, the result of exams passed in the top 5%. Or prizes won, and the Commandant had greeted her with the most thawed of his several frosty expressions. Today it had been, "Cadet Vada to the Commandant's office, on the double," blaring out over the speaker right in the middle of her first-class period. Veshpazir's lecture on the history of the first century PD. Veshpazir, no friend to shipping dynasties, had given her a nasty smirk before saying, "Dismissed, Cadet Vada." She had no idea what this was about, or rather, she hoped she didn't. Surely she had been careful enough. "Cadet Vada," the Commandant said, no thawing at all, and his left eyelid drooped ominously. "Sir," she said, "I won't even ask you what you thought you were doing," he said. "I don't want to know. I don't care." "Sir?" She hated the squeak in her voice. "Don't play the innocent with me, cadet." Rumor had it that if his left eyelid actually closed, cadets died. She wasn't sure she believed that, but she hoped she wasn't about to find out. "You are a disgrace to the service." Kai almost shook her head in confusion. What could he be talking about? "Going outside the chain of command like this." He thumped the sheet of paper. "Embarrassing the service."
"Sir?"
She gulped, caught between the etiquette that required silence until she was given leave to speak, and a desperate need to find out what had the Commandant's eyelid hovering ever nearer to its mate. "You have something to say, cadet?" the Commandant asked. His voice, like his face, might have been carved out of a glacier. "Do go ahead." It was not a generous offer.
"Sir, with the greatest respect, this cadet does not know to what the Commandant is referring."
His lips disappeared altogether. "Oh, you can play the innocent all you want, cadet, and maintain that formal falderal, but you don't fool me." He paused. Kai searched her memory and came up empty. "Well, since you insist, let's try this. Do you recall the name Mandy Rocher?"
"Yes, sir," Kai said promptly. "Second year, third squad."
"And you can think of no reason why I might connect that name and yours?"
"Sir, I helped Cadet Rocher locate a Miznari chaplain last weekend, when Chaplain Oser was away."
A dim glimmer of what might be the problem came to her, but she couldn't believe there would be that much fuss about a simple little... "And just how did you locate a Miznari chaplain, Cadet?"
I called my mother, sir."
"You called your mother?" He made it sound obscene, as if only the lowest criminal would call a mother. "And told your mother to do what, cadet?"
"I asked her if her friend Juka could refer me to a Miznari chaplain near the academy."
"For what reason?"
"I told her that one of the underclassmen was overdue for confession and that the academy chaplain was out of town."
"You didn't tell her what he wanted to confess?"
Kai felt her own eyebrows going up. "Sir, I don't know what he had to confess. I only know that he was in distress and needed a chaplain, and I thought it would save trouble if I just got him one.
You're not Ms. Nari yourself?
No, sir. We're Modulans.
Actually, they were Cypheric Sicklins, but that was such a small sect that nobody recognized it. And Modulans were respectable and undemanding. You could be a Modulan without doing anything much at all. A source of some humor to more energetic sects. Kai found Modulan Chapel restful and had gone often enough to acquire a reputation for moderate piety, the level most approved by Modulans. The Commandant's eyelid twitched upward a millimeter. Kai hoped this was a good sign.
You had no idea that what he wanted to confess concerned the honor of the service.
Her jaw dropped. She forced it back up.
No, sir.
That he made a formal complaint to this Ms. Nari, in addition to his confession, which the chaplain took immediately to the Bureau of War, where it fell into the hands of a particularly noxious bureaucrat, whose sister just happens to be on the staff of Wide Exposure, so that I found myself on the horn very early this morning with Grand Admiral Tezliki, who was not amused at all.
It was not really a question. It was a rant, and explanation and condemnation all in one. The bureaucrat spoke on Wide Exposure's Night Affairs program at 0115. Clever timing, that. And this morning all the media channels had something on it.
That's only the beginning. Kai felt hot, then cold, then hot again.
Sir? She managed.
So even if you did not know, Cadet Vada, what Cadet Rocher wanted to confess, you may be able to grasp that by going outside the chain of command, you have created a very, very large public relations problem, embarrassing the entire general staff, the Bureau of War, and, last but not least, me personally.
Yes, sir. She could understand that. She could not, she thought, have anticipated it. And now she was consumed by curiosity. What, exactly, had Mandy Rocher said? They weren't allowed access to things like Wide Exposure except on weekends.
You're an embarrassment, Cadet Vada, the Commandant said. Many, many people want your hide tacked on the wall and your head on a pike. The only reason I don't...
His eyelid was up another millimeter.
The only reason I don't is that I have observed your progress through the Academy, and you have so far been, within the limits of your ability, an exemplary cadet. When I thought you'd done it on purpose, I was going to throw you to the wolves. Now, since I suspect that you simply fell for a sob story, and your entire barracks knows you have a soft spot for underdogs and lost lambs, I'm simply going to take the hide off your back in strips and see your resignation on my desk by 1500 hours this afternoon.
Sir? Resignation. Did that mean what it sounded like? Was he kicking her out? Just because she tried to help Mandy?
Now the eyelid came all the way back up. Cadet Vada, you have, unwittingly perhaps, created a major mess with implications that could damage the service for years. Your ass is grass one way or the other. You could be charged, for instance, with that string of articles beginning with 312.5. I see by your expression that you have belatedly remembered them.
She did indeed. Article 312.5 of the Military Legal Code. Failure to inform superior officer in a timely manner of potentially harmful personnel situations. Article 312.6. Failure to inform superior officer in a timely manner of breaches of security involving sensitive personnel. Article 312.7. Failure to inform superior officer in a timely manner of Rats, rats, and flying rats. She was majorly doomed.
I wasn't thinking, sir. That was not an attempt at apology, merely a statement of fact.
Fairly obvious. What did you think might happen?
I thought Mandy, Cadet Rocher, was so upset that day. I thought if he could see a chaplain and confess or whatever, he'd settle down until the regular chaplain got back. He had those exams coming up, and they were group graded. If he didn't do well, his squad would suffer for it.
What you didn't know, Cadet, is that Rocher had been avoiding the regular chaplain's cycle. His so-called emergency was of his own making. He wanted to talk to someone outside the academy, and you made that possible.
Yes, sir.
And you didn't tell anyone at all about this, did you?
No, sir.
Easier to get forgiveness than permission. Is that what you were thinking?
No, sir. Not really. One of the places where Modulins and Cypheric Cichlins disagreed was about the giving of aid. Modulins felt that moderate assistance should be moderately public. One did not make a huge display of charity, but one allowed others to know charity was going on, to set a good example. Cypheric Cichlins, on the other hand, believed that all help should be given as anonymously as possible. Now was probably not the time to talk about that difference.
I am so reassured. The Commandant's eyelid quivered. Cadet Vada, it is unfortunate that you have to suffer for a generous impulse. But we need naval officers with brains as well as kind hearts. You will not return to class. You will, as I said, present a letter of resignation which does not mention any of this and cites personal reasons as the cause by 1500 hours. Sooner, Cadet, is better than later. But first you will go to signals and make contact with your family so that you will be able to leave quietly and quickly when that resignation is approved. The look he gave her now was warmer by a few degrees, but still not cordial. Staff will pack up your things. They will be at the gate when you depart.
Yes, sir.
And yes, you infer correctly that you are not to speak to any of your former associates. Your departure will be explained as seems most expedient for the service.
Sir, not speak to anyone. Not to Mira or Lizette. Not to Hal. Only another few months, and we can... But not now. Not ever. Please, please, let no one figure out.
You are dismissed. Sir.
Kai saluted, rotated correctly on her right heel, and left his office, her mind a blur. Signals. She knew where Signals was. She passed without really seeing an enlisted man in the passage, and another at the head of the stairs down to the classroom level. Halfway to Signals, her mind clicked on long enough to panic. She had to call her family, tell her father, and, oh heavens, her mother that she was disgraced, dismissed. Her brothers would all. Her cousins. Uncle Tomas and Grace, worse than Uncle Tomas, who would say again all she had said when Kai first went to the academy, laced with, "I told you so." She felt the tremor in her hands and fought to still it. Now, for this short period of time, she was still a cadet. And now, for this short period of time, she would act like one. Even as the dream went down in smoke and ashes, even then. Her stomach looped wildly once and settled. At the door of Signals, a uniformed guard stared past her. "Cadet Vada, on order of the Commandant," she said. He stepped aside, and she heard him murmur into his comm unit. "Cadet Vada at Signals, sir." Commander Terry had the watch in Signals. His expression suggested that her family were loathsome toads, and she was toad spawn. "Vada," he said, minus the honorific.
Sir, which contact number? As if having more than one number were also a crime.
Vada Enterprises, Kai said. They have a relay.
Wherever her father was, they could reach him or give her a link to the senior Vada on planet.
We would prefer that you make a direct call.
She knew her father's mobile number, of course, but he'd often said that he hated the damn thing and would leave it on the bedside table as often as not. That meant her mother might pick it up, the last person she wanted to talk to. Vada Enterprises would ring his skull phone, which he couldn't take off. She didn't have that number. No one did but the communications computer at VE. She rattled off the string for the mobile and mentally visualized the arc of blue, best fortune, of the Sikfirian Siklin wheel, as Commander Terry nodded to the rating who entered the string.
Name? Terry asked abruptly. Kai startled. The name of the person you're calling? He said.
Sir, my father, sir. Gerard Avendeddon Vada. But if my mother...
You are permitted one call to one recipient, Cadet Vada.
Commander Terry picked up the headset and held the receiver to his ear. Kai waited, the blue arc fading in her mental eye. Then his hand twitched.
This is Commander Terry at the Naval Academy. I need to speak to Gerard Avendeddon Vada.
A pause, then.
Kailara Vada will speak with you.
He held out the headset to Kai.
She was not even allowed to speak from a privacy booth. She had known the call would be recorded, but at least a semblance of normal courtesy would have helped. She could feel tears swelling now, stuffing her nose. She fought for calmness as she took the headset and put it on. Enough of this. She turned her back on Commander Terry without permission.
Dad, listen.
Kai, what's wrong? Are you hurt?
Dad, no, I'm fine. Please listen. I have to leave. I have to leave today. Can you send somebody to the gates?
Kai, what is it?
Dad, please. I have to resign. I have to leave. I don't have any money for transport. I need a way to get home.
What? She could hear the explosion building up, the familiar prelude to the famous roar.
Then it ended, surprising her into silence.
His voice gentled to a soft growl. Kai, listen. Whatever it is, we can help. Let me call the Commandant.
No, Dad, don't do that.
I'll explain when I get there. Only help me get there, please. When do you need transport?
She looked at the chronometer. Only 09:35. Surely she could write a resignation that would satisfy the Commandant by noon. By noon, if that's possible.
For you, Kailara Meesh, 5 minutes would be possible. Only tell me, has someone hurt you?
Later she would consider whether Mandy Rocher had hurt her. Now she wanted only to get away.
And even if Mandy had, she had made it possible. It was her own fault.
It's not that, Dad.
Good, because if any one of those fish eaters had laid a finger on you...
Dad, please. Noon?
At the gates. On Vada Honor.
Vada Honor.
The signal died, and she handed the headset back to Commander Terry. He took it without comment and gave her a curt nod. Get on your way, Vada.
Yes, sir. She needed a place to write the resignation. If she was forbidden to return to her quarters, where could she go? Outside, she found the answer, of sorts. The wiry, gray-haired senior NCO who had been her year's nemesis in the first 4 quarters, and an increasingly valuable resource ever since. She had not, she remembered, taken Mac Roberts' advice on the matter of Mandy Rocher.
Commandant's library is empty, Cadet Vada, he said now, fully equipped.
Right, she said. She would not cry.
She would certainly not cry in front of this man.
He turned to lead the way and she followed.
Right mess you made of things,
he said, when they were around a corner from signals.
Yes, Kai said.
I won't say I told you so, he said. He just had, of course, but she didn't answer. I dare say you feel bad enough already.
A shadow of a question in that. Anger stirred suddenly beneath the anguish.
Yes, I do, she said, hearing the sharp edge to her own voice.
Thought so, he said. Here you are. He opened the door for her. She had never been in the Commandant's private library before. The long, narrow room held not only racks of ordinary books and journals, but shelves of ancient books like those in her family's oldest house. A long table ran down the middle of the room, and at one end, someone had set out a stack of white paper and a selection of pens. It's appropriate that a resignation of this type be handwritten, Mac Robert told her. You can use the voice recorder or the keyboard to rough it out, but it's better to stick to the simplest format.
Someone had also laid out a copy of Naval Etiquette, Essentials for Officers, and the hand reader.
Thank you, Kai said. It was still not 100 hours. Her world had ended less than an hour ago. She had another couple of hours.
What time did you arrange transport for? Mac Robert asked.
Noon, Kai said.
I'll see that your gear is at the gate by 11:30, Mac Robert said.
Thank you, Kai said. She felt unreal still, as if this were a dream, as if she were floating a few centimeters off the floor.
I'll leave you alone, Mac Robert said. When you're finished, you can leave the resignation here.
The Commandant said on his desk, Kai said.
That's right, and so it will be. Just tell me when you're finished.
He nodded and went out, shutting the door silently behind him. She put Naval Etiquette, Essentials for Officers, into the reader and found that someone had already bookmarked the section on resignations. Voluntary and involuntary. Sections of the legal code relating to forms of appropriate and inappropriate. She paused there and looked at the appropriate wording for resigning one's commission while in command of a ship, while in command of a flotilla, while in between commands, while on leave, while suffering an incurable mental or physical condition precluding further duty. That's me, Kai thought, suffering from an incurable tendency to trust people in trouble and help lame dogs. She turned to the keyboard. She didn't trust her voice to use the speech-activated system, and copied in the phrasing, I, name, hereby resign my cadetship/commission for reasons of reason. I, Kailara Evangeline Dominique Vada, hereby resign my cadetship for reasons of overwhelming stupidity and weak sentimentality. No, that wouldn't do. For reasons of totally unfair blame for something I didn't do. That wouldn't do either. For reasons of a mental illness called gullibility? Soft-heartedness? No. Tears blurred her vision suddenly. She blinked them back. Memory stirred, bringing her Mandy Roacher's image as he sat, shoulders hunched, hands trembling a little, telling her that he had to find a chaplain. He really did. Had his hands trembled with secret laughter that she was so easy to fool? Had he looked down to hide the scorn in his eyes? He was such a little... She searched her vocabulary for a sufficiently descriptive phrase. Insignificant, forgettable, boring, pitiful, non-entity, and to lose her cadetship because of him. She would get him someday. Vengeance, said her grandmother, was an unworthy goal. But this was a special case. Surely this was a special case. I, Kailara Evangeline Dominique Vada, hereby resign from the academy for reasons that reflect on my ability to carry out the duties of a naval officer. Close. Not quite yet. She looked around the room, squinting to bring the titles of the old books into focus. Harren and Harren's Chronicles of the Dispersion, all 10 volumes. Her family owned 3 through 5, but 1 and 2 were very rare indeed in paper form. Cantabria's Principles of Space Warfare, evidently a first edition. She longed to pull it down and check, but was afraid to. A row bound identically in blue-gray cloth. Logbooks, the old-fashioned kind. Those would be centuries and centuries old. She got up and looked at the names on the spines. Darius II, Paleologus, Sargon, Ataturk. She felt the goose flesh come up on her arms and looked quickly at the last, least faded volume. Centaurius. Not, in fact, centuries old, not even 1 century. These were the logs that the Commandant had kept, his personal logs from every ship on which he'd served. She'd once memorized the sequence on a dare. Her fingers twitched. What had he thought, felt, done as a young man on his first ship? She would never know. She had no right to know. The adventure she hoped to write into such logs herself would never come her way now. She made herself step away from that shelf and look at another. History here, biography there, reference works on all the neighboring states, on the biota of First Colony, on the ecology of water gardens. Water gardens? The Commandant studied water gardens? A sound outside in the passage startled her and sent her back to the table, but the footsteps passed by. She stared at the screen again. For reasons of... Back to the hand reader. Alternate phrasing. Due to... Clumsy. Never say more than you need, her father had said. Her mother had muttered that Kalara always said more than she needed. She'd stop that right now. I, Kailara Evangeline Dominique Vada, hereby resign from the Academy for personal reasons. Short and not sweet. Nothing about this was sweet. She stared at the screen a long time, glaring at the tiny blue words on the gray screen. Then she moved the paper over and copied the words very carefully in her best script, the handwriting of a properly brought up child and good student. Panic gripped her when she had signed it. She did not want to do this. She could not do this. She must do this. She looked at the time. 10 hours, 22 minutes, and 38 seconds. Had destroying her life really taken so little time? A tap on the door, then it opened. Mac Robert again, this time with a large silver tray. A teapot, incongruously splotched with big pink roses. A pair of matching cups, gold-rimmed on saucers. A small plate of lemon cookies, and another of tiny, precisely cut sandwiches.
The Commandant will be joining you, Mac Robert said.
He sat the tray on the end of the library table, picked up her resignation, and walked out with it. Kai sat immobile, staring at the steam rising from the teapot's spout, trying not to smell the fragrance of cookies obviously fresh from the oven, trying not to think or feel anything at all. The Commandant's entrance brought her upright to attention. He waved her back down. "You're resigned. Sit down," he sighed. His left eyelid was back up where it should be, but his whole face sagged. "Pour out, will you?" Kai carried out the familiar ritual, something she didn't have to think about, and handed him his cup of tea. He waited and nodded at her. She poured one for herself. It was good tea. It would be, she thought. He took a sandwich and gave her a look. She took one, too. He ate his sandwich in one bite and sipped his tea.
"It's a shame, really," he said. "Here I had a perfectly good excuse to remove your internal organs and hang them from the towers, make an example of you. It's my job, and I'm supposed to relish it, or why did I ask for it? But you were a good cadet, Mistress Vada. And I know you intended to be a good...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?